Coal mining is superficially even more similar to hard rock mining than is the oil industry, in that its operations inevitably create heavy environmental impacts. Coal mines tend to make even bigger messes than do hard rock mines because the quantity of coal extracted per year is relatively enormous. Thus, coal mines usually disturb more area, and in some cases, they strip the soil down to bedrock and dump mountaintops into rivers. On the other hand, coal occurs in pure seams up to 10 feet thick, stretching for miles, so that the ratio of dumped waste to product extracted is only about 1 for a coal mine, far less than 400 for a copper mine and 5 million for a gold mine. The lethal Buffalo Creek disaster at a U.S. coal mine in 1972 served as a wake-up call for the coal industry, much as the Exxon Valdez disaster did for the oil industry. Stimulated by Buffalo Creek, the U.S. federal government instituted tighter regulation and required stricter operating plans and financial assurance for coal mining than for hard rock mining. The initial response of the coal industry to those government initiatives was to prophesy disaster for the industry. But 20 years later, that has been forgotten, and the coal industry has learned to live with the new regulations. One reason is that many coal mines are in flatland, not highly valued for other reasons, so that restoration is economically feasible. Unlike the hard rock mining industry, the coal industry now often restores mined areas within a year or two of ceasing operations. Another reason may be that coal, unlike gold, is perceived as a necessity for our society, so the coal industry may have been able to pass on its increased environmental costs to consumers. Still another factor behind the response of the coal industry is that it typically has short, transparent supply chains. That makes it easy for the public to figure out whether any particular consumer of coal is obtaining it from a cleanly or dirtily operated coal mining company. Oil has a supply chain that is even shorter. Big oil companies like Chevron, Texaco, ExxonMobil, and BP sell their fuel to consumers at their own gas stations, thereby permitting consumers enraged by the Exxon Valdez disaster to boycott Exxon gas stations. But gold passes from mine to the consumer via a long supply chain that includes refiners, warehouses, jewelry manufacturers in India, and European wholesalers before arriving at a retail jewelry store. Take a look at your wedding ring. You don't have the faintest idea where the gold came from, whether it was mined last year or stockpiled for the last 20 years, what company mined it, and what their environmental practices were. For copper, the situation is even more obscure. That long supply chain prevents copper and gold mining companies from counting on consumer willingness to pay for cleaner mines. In 1998, top executives of some of the world's largest international mining companies became concerned that their industry around the world was losing its social license to operate, as the expression goes. They formed an initiative termed the Mining Minerals and Sustainable Development Project, launched a series of studies on sustainable mining, enlisted a well-known environmentalist as director of the initiative, and attempted, without success, to involve the broader environmental community, which refused because of its historical disgust with mining companies. In the year 2002, the study arrived at a series of recommendations, but then most of the mining companies involved unfortunately declined to implement the recommendations. The exception is the British mining giant Rio Tinto, which decided to move ahead on some of the recommendations on its own, under pressure from its strongly supportive CEO and from British stockholders. Its borax mine in California's Death Valley is now perhaps the most cleanly operated mine in the U.S. One payoff that Rio Tinto has already reaped is that when Tiffany & Company decided to stress environmental considerations in selecting a mining company to which to award a contract as gold supplier, Tiffany chose Rio Tinto because of the latter's increasingly clean reputation. The remaining instructive example involves U.S.-based DuPont Company, the world's leading buyer of titanium metal and titanium compounds used in paints, jet engines, high-speed planes and space vehicles, and other purposes. Much titanium is extracted from Australian beach sands rich in rutile, a mineral that consists of almost pure titanium dioxide. DuPont buys rutile from Australian mining companies. However, DuPont puts its name on all its products, including its titanium-based house paints, and it does not want all its products to get a bad reputation just because its titanium suppliers arouse consumer wrath through dirty practices. Hence, DuPont, in collaboration with public interest groups, has worked out buyers' agreements and suppliers' codes of responsibility that it enforces on all of its Australian titanium suppliers. These two examples involving Tiffany and DuPont illustrate an important point. Consumers have leverage over Tiffany, DuPont, and other retailers that buy metals and that have the technical ability to distinguish clean from dirty mines. At least in the short run, environmental safeguards, cleanup, and restoration incur costs for mining companies adopting them, regardless of whether government regulations or public attitudes ensure that the safeguards save the company's money in the long run. Who should pay for those costs? The reality is that the mining industry is, on the average, so unprofitable that consumers could not point to excessive company profits from which costs should be met. Even the cleanest methods for mining coal and copper create messes. If we want coal and copper, we have to recognize the environmental costs of extracting them as a legitimate necessary cost of mining. The environmental costs should be factored into metals prices and passed on to consumers, just as oil and coal companies already do. Only the long and opaque supply chain from mineral mines to the public and the historically bad behavior of most mining companies have obscured this simple conclusion to date.